A very good morning. Good morning. They said, look, they said the boss is never late. He's delayed. Okay? I was delayed. I'm not late. Okay? A very good morning to you. It's a Monday morning, the 10th of the 11th month. How are you doing this morning? Hopefully you have enough rest. You rested enough. And you have enough energy to face another week. My dear people, we have a country to build, you know. So, well, if you're listening to David just in early morning scoop, talking about, you know, development, how do we make sure that we reach those visions and aspirations that we have for ourselves, you know. So, yes, that's why I say you got to, you know, you got to make sure that you get enough energy to do your part wherever you find yourself, whoever you are. You are so important to the growth of to the growth and development of this country. So welcome to a new week. It's a new week in November, the second week of November. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in sphere of business, economics, politics, finance. You know, every weekday we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always asking the questions that matter and give you a fresh take of what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack others, what others are saying, and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. Good morning to you. If you just joining us, our time is about 11 minutes past the hour of 8. So we're coming to you live. We're coming to you live from Ondangwa studio. And I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock, when I will be handing over to Tate Franz with Kutha Mosha. So hopefully you're joining me. And in our segment, in our first, you know, our first game today, we're looking at two events that left their mark on the continent, both happening on November the 10th. This is on this day in Africa. So let's travel to Nigeria in 1995 and then to Angola. All right. November 10th in 1995, the world was watching Nigeria with a heavy heart. You know, on this day, the military government of General Sani Abacha, you remember him, you know, carried out a deeply controversial act. A writer and an activist, Ken Saro-Wiwa, you know, Ken Saro-Wiwa, along with eight other members of the movement of the survival of Ongoni people, or MOSOP, was executed by hanging. They were executed by hanging. Saro-Wiwa was a powerful voice. He was a powerful voice in his community and a fierce critic of the military regime. Now, he spoke out against the devastation caused by by international oil companies, particularly Shell, in the Niger Delta. So he argued that oil extraction was poisoning the land of the Ogoni people, leaving them with nothing but environmental ruin. So hopefully, you know, those are things that we need to be aware of in Namibia, in the land of the brave as well. Now, his trial was heavily criticized by international observers who called it, actually, they called that it was a sham. It wasn't a trial. In the aftermath of the execution, the outrage was so great that Nigeria was actually suspended from the Commonwealth of Nations. So the event itself really highlights the brutal repression of dissent under the military dictatorship, and it remains a scar on the Nigerian history. All right, now let's turn the clock back 20 years to November 10th in 1975. Let's shift our focus now to Angola, to our neighboring Angola. So the country was on the brink of declaring its independence from Portugal, but the future was far from peace. The future was far from peaceful. Yeah, it was on this very day that South Africa Prime Minister John Foster held a secret meeting in Pretoria with Jonas Savimbi, the leader of the UNITA faction. So Foster reversed an earlier decision to withdraw his troop from Angola, promising now Savimbi that South Africa forces would stay until the key meeting of the Organization of African Unity took place meeting of the Organization of African Unity took place in the following month. So this move was part of the wider Cold War tension playing out on African continent, with South Africa's apartheid government seeking to destabilize a newly independent state they saw as actually a threat. So at the same time, another piece was moving on the geopolitical chessboard, you know, that many pieces now. So this was Cuban officers joined the fight, supporting the rival people movement for the liberation of Angola, or MPLA. Now, the stage was set for a civil war, and that civil war would actually last for many, many, many years, some decades, and followed by international interventions as well. So, yeah, those are the two significant events that happened in the course of history in Africa. So, now, today is Monday the 10th. What is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? A horse may take the warrior to the battlefield, but can never fight. A horse may take the warrior to the battlefield, but can never fight. Now, the proverb means that tools, resources, and external support, okay? An external support can only take you so far. They can carry you to the point of action, but the actual effort, courage, and skill to face challenges must come from within yourself. Just as a horse can transport a warrior to fight, the horse itself does not fight the battle. So the warrior must do the fighting. Now, this proverb emphasizes personal responsibility, inner strength, and the importance of individual courage and action rather than relying solely on external help or advantages. Now, it teaches that success in conflict or challenges ultimately depend on one's own ability and resolve. It depends on your own ability and resolve. And if we have to think in terms of the socioeconomic context of Namibia or Africa more broadly, external support, for example, development aid, partnership, investment, may bring us to the battlefield of economic development or change. It may bring us to the battlefield of economic development or change, but the real battle of transformation must be fought locally by the people locally, by institution locally, and by the way we do things, by the culture locally. So as you go out, as you go throughout the day today, think of that any help that we get, aid, investment, whatever, wherever you are, know that the changes that need to come, the transformation that need to come, must be fought by us local, by local people, by citizens of Namibia. So by the brave, we the brave, we all are the brave warriors, okay? All right, so that's the thought of the day today. So make sure that the choices you make today and the decisions, you know, bring the transformation. We are the change that we need. All right. So good morning and welcome and welcome. So what can we wait? What can we look forward today on the show? Now, we have a UN climate change conference is going on. They call it COP 30. Something interesting is that maybe that you can look forward in this is that eight of the 10 countries hardest hit, those that are really hardest hit by climate change are in Africa. So 8 out of 10 countries, those that are hit by, hardest hit by climate change are actually in Africa. So if you want to hear, if you want to know more about what is going on and also what our president said on this, please make sure that you stay tuned. More interesting, and these are stories that we found today in today's edition of the new today's edition of the Villager. So make sure that you grab yours so that you read more the information. So more than 1,500 phones were detained at our borders last year. So the reason might surprise you. So if you want to know what is the reason, so make sure that first of all, you subscribe to The Villager and, well, you stay tuned to find out. So, and your participation, definitely it's part of this show. Hopefully you unpack with me this stories. So, see you on the other side of this.
Omutiha would take it off a guna, e matina omjo. Chica was a fat and anana, long as she fa, yes, you became a shiwana. E moyao, or tango got it some money. Anna is a fa, yanamibia, on bitom banawa, or jika. The Ethanina, Omaguro, need anitoma, yue, youngest if I occupied more Eagle FM Media House. Way 20 Nemeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara on Washi Pareki, we mopo, your more programma letu. Moambo, then get a Selma, or the Rahita Tim, Datundatu, Heri Hamano Tano, on the Arch. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. And the good thing about Eagle FM is that you cannot only tune in live, but you can also, you know, go back. If you couldn't actually tune in live, you can always go back and actually go to the podcast and listen to your favorite show that you missed earlier. So you can only do that when you have the Eagle FM mobile app and download it right away because you will thank me later. All right. So you will definitely thank me later. You will call me at one point, Mike, thank you for suggesting that I should download that. All right, you must do that right away. So good morning and welcome. All right, and welcome. So if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and my name is Mike Oshavelli. And today we are talking about, this is a very critical issue, all right? You see, what we're experiencing now, you know, sometimes we, okay, it depending sometimes where we are in life. When you are hungry, all you think is actually food. You know, we know you don't think beyond that. But this is a very critical issue, which is a global concern, but it's not only a global concern, but it's also something directly impacting our daily lives. So this is a climate change. Okay. So, and sometimes when we hear this terminology, climate change, we think those are things that are concerned, maybe, you know, American, European, and whatever. True, but it's also something that I said have a direct impact on our daily lives. So right now, as we speak, and this is also a story in today's edition of The Villager. Read that. There's a story there by Duane Links, you know, on this United Climate Change Conference, COP 30. So right now, leaders from all around the world are gathered in Brazil for the 30th United Nations Climate Change Conference, which is referred to as COP 30. The COP 29 actually took place last year in one of those countries, Zabazan, I can't remember. I would remember that. Those difficult names. All right. So now, the stake couldn't be higher for African country, or especially for developing nations, particularly Africa, in Africa. And because the Africans are demanding, resources they need to combat the devastating effects of climate change. Why are the African demanding, you know, the resources, you know? Well, one is that we can see there is this urgency. The urgency is really very clear. You know, there is a growing frustration within, there is an urgency within African country because they see the devastation the devastating effect of climate change in their country, not only in most developing countries. Now, so there is a growing frustration. And we're talking about countries like Namibia itself, facing, and if we're talking about the devastating effect of climate change, Namibia is facing extreme droughts, one of that we experienced just last year, floods. If it's not drought, it's flood. If it's not flood, it's a rising temperature. That, all these actually are threatening our food security. So that's why last year we our president, especially Nangoro Mbumba, have to run around the world asking for aid, you know, and declared a state of emergency. So that's how bad it was, you know. So there's so much that happening. It threatened this kind of devastating effect of climate change is threatening our food security. When it's flood, it's displacing communities. And the worst part is that it put pressure on our already fragile economies. So it put a lot of pressure on the economy that's already, as we know, it's fragile. But as the climate crisis worsens, as it actually becoming worse and worse, there is still a massive gap. And this is the issue. There is still a massive, massive, massive gap in funding, especially now from the rich countries. Now, the irony is that the rich countries are the ones that have contributed most to this crisis. So, and the crisis is that there is this massive gap in terms of funding, and the rich country are the one who support actually to fund this because they are the one who have contributed the most to the crisis. So what is going wrong then? Eh? What is going wrong? And where does now that leave Namibia in this global climate, global climate struggle? So the struggle for climate change, eh? It's another struggle, just like the other struggle of independence, my friend. This is another struggle. It's a global climate struggle. But where does that leave us? Where are we in terms of that? Okay. Now, let's get into it. First, let's look at the Africa struggle, okay? The climate crisis in Africa. So, undeniably, Africa is one of the hardest hit continents when it comes to to climate change. We are the most hardest hit, you know, by climate change. And it's not something that maybe we need to worry that we don't need to worry because it's going to happen sometimes in the future. It's already a daily reality. You know, it's a daily reality. Even here, even for us in Namibia, it's a daily reality. In fact, as I said earlier, 8 out of 10 countries most affected by climate change are in Africa. 8 out of 10. When you have 10 countries that are affected by climate change, 8 of those are in Africa. Now, so, and this is from, you know, from devastating drought. If you're looking in Southern Africa, there have been really a lot of devastating drought in Southern Africa, and floods as well. And when you go to the Horn of Africa, you know, you have, what is that, cyclones. You also have flood in some part of the Horn of Africa. So, and these environmental crises really threaten the survival. It's become a threat to survival, as we have seen it in our own country. It becomes a threat to our survival. So, and Namibia, like many of our neighbors as well, faces unpredictable future with increasing, as we say, increasingly erratic weather patterns. So, it's really erratic. We don't know what's going to happen. As we are here, we don't know whether it's going to be flood. It's going to be so much rain that it's going to be flooding. Or it's going to be, you know, drought. It seems to be like Namota was talking already. We must prepare for what, you know, a shortage of water. Maybe it's going to be a drought. So it's really erratic weather patterns that, well, we seem not to predict. So we just find ourselves a victim of circumstances, isn't it? We already have, you know, as Namibian, we have already faced severe drought in recent years. Some even worse. And this and those droughts or even floods in some cases, it cost the country's million in loss agricultural production. So, and as I was talking about water, threatening also water supplies. So, yeah, it is something that we should be worried about, for sure. You should be worried about, because it would influence, you know, cost of price. I mean, prices and cost of living and all that, inflations and all that. So now let's get to, and when we think of that, you know, this is not just an issue for farmers. In Namibia, it's not just for those who are farming. As I said, it's or people that are living maybe in a rural area who depend on the rain and all that. It's affect everyone. It's affect everyone. A rising food cost. That means, you know, the food that you're gonna buy. If you buy the food that you're gonna buy on the shelf, it's gonna be very, 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 very expensive. Energy problem without enough rain. So the Arakana hydropower. So what happened? Energy problems and more pressure on public services as well. More pressure on public services will be felt across the country. So, yeah, it's really, 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 really something serious. And we should be, you know, pay attention to this. Now, the problem here is, okay, so the problem now when we talk about the conference that we're talking about that taking place in Brazil, the problem is when it comes now securing fund to adapt and respond to these climate challenges, Africa, despite being the hardest hit, continue actually to receive less than 3% of global climate finance. The finance that are available. So the finance, the global climate finance that's available, and we are the most hit we are the most that are affected by the climate changes in the world globally, we are the one who are receiving actually less money compared to others. So that's why in the previous COP29, they were talking about climate justice. Where is justice there? So first of all, we are not the one who are actually contributing to emission loss a lot. It's those countries. So the other thing is that we are the most heated. We are the one who most affected. But then we are the one who receive less funding in terms of this. Where is justice in this? Now, definitely what is frustrating is that the nation causing the least harm to the environment are the ones suffering the most. We are the one who causing the least harm to the environment, but we are the one who actually suffering the most. And the global finance system is failing to meet its promises. They said, we're going to give you money. Don't worry. Eh? So we are the one who are actually contributing more to this crisis, and we will support, but no, they're not actually fulfilling. They are not actually meeting their promises. So that's actually the biggest issue when we're looking at this. The frustrating is that we, other developing countries, are the ones that are causing the least harm to the environment. And we are the ones that are suffering when it comes to climate change. And the global finance system is actually not meeting its promises to these countries. Now, so these broken promises. Now, the global conversation on climate often centered around the 100 billion per year pledge. That was the money that was pledged, made by the developed nation under the Paris Agreement. All right? So this was actually done when it was done, you know, this is under the Paris Agreement. So 100 billion per year, that was actually pledged by the finance, by the developed nations. Now, the idea was that wealthy countries who have historically contributed most to greenhouse gas emission would help support developing countries in their effort now to adapt to climate change and now transition, stories that we hear quite often. So transition to greener, more sustainable economies. Okay? So there will be, you know, supporting developing countries to adapt to climate changes and also to transition to a more sustainable, to a more greener, more sustainable economies. So, but here's the problem. Okay? Here is the problem. Eh? Like the problem, you know, like we, what happened to this aircon? It's hot in here. All right. So, sorry about that. But here's the problem. The money has not come through. The money, the mullah has not come through. When it comes, when it does, the other thing is that now, when it does, it's mostly in the form of loan. So it's actually in the form of loan, not grant. You understand? So which actually still make it worse for the developing countries. Now, at COP29, just last year in what is the country? It started with Azerbaijan. Yeah, exactly. Got it. So yeah, it was in Azerbaijan. Is there a country like Azerbaijan? Yeah, it is Azerbaijan. Now, the COP29 actually last year, it was in Azerbaijan, if I'm right. Yeah, it was in Abidjan. Now, the African negotiator labeled the funding proposal as totally unacceptable, and it wasn't enough. They think That is not enough. Okay? So we have countries like, you know, like Kenya, Haiti, Barbados, you know, Barbados, and even Namibia, yeah, are now calling out this hypocrisy. They're calling out this hypocrisy. Why should nations that are already grappling with the loss of lives because of climate change, a loss of lives, a loss of livelihood from climate impact, now be burdened with more debt? Because loan would still, you know, that actually you're burdening again, you know, those countries that are suffering already with burden, with more burden of debt. So as I said earlier on, the country are asking for climate justice. Well, they're not asking for charity. They are asking for climate justice. They're asking for, it's about accountability. It's about fairness, because the countries who are actually contributing the most to greenhouse gas emission should contribute more. And they are failing to do that. And they should be supporting developing countries. And that's what they have promised. You know, they should be supporting the countries that, you know, in their effort now, developing countries in their effort to adapt to climate change. And they have failed. So they have failed. So now, where do we stand? Where does Namibia stand in this larger global conversation? Where are we? Now, well, President Nentumbo Nandindaitwa, Dempelina Nandindaitwa, our president, has been part of the various pre-summit engagement in Brazil. So before the summit. The summit actually start. Today is the 10th. They started yesterday. It started, I think, 9th. Started the 9th. Started yesterday. But there were also some pre-various, the pre-summit kind of engagement. And she affirmed our country's commitment to climate action. We are, you know, we are committed to, you know, to do what it takes to adapt to this, to a climate change. And Namibia is aiming for a low carbon, resistant future, and has set an ambition target to cut carbon emission, which we even set a target to cut a carbon emission by 11.9 million tons. 11.9 million tons. So, but here's a problem. There is always a problem. Now, the problem is Namibia need about 285 billion. We need about 285 billion, the money that the developing countries which are not forthcoming. So we need that, close to about 285 billion. That's what we need if we need to actually meet our target, which is actually to cut the carbon emission by 11.9 million tons. And as I said, we need that amount of money to make these plans a reality. Otherwise, we will continue to experience much of this, what we experience. And only a fraction of that will come from our own resources. And the rest, international support is essential. We need international support to be able to meet our target. But as President Nandindaitwa said, or as he pointed out, the support must go beyond, it must go beyond empty promises. She was very strong on that. Namibia is calling for a real accessible climate funds, finance. We need this money to be accessible. It shouldn't be just a promise. We need the money. We need the mullah. Okay? Chelete. Yeah? Not just pledges that never materialize. And this is what and this is what happened normally on these global, you know, platforms. There are many, so many pledges year after year. eh? And nothing materialized. So, and we are the country. Namibia is it's a prime example of the disconnect between policy and action, because we have committed. We have a target that we want to reach. We have committed to a green energy transition ourselves. The financing actually to back it up simply is not flowing in. And if it does, it's not flowing in enough. It's not fast enough. These are the money that we're waiting, the support that we're waiting, you know, to come from this developing country. And it's not flowing in fast enough. So, in the end, what happened? Exactly that, as I said, we are that typical example of disconnect between policy or pledges that were made and action. Yeah? So when we talk about climate action, we also cannot ignore the deep social and economic differences or disparities between countries. Namibia, for example, with our vast mineral resources, is in a unique position to help power. We are in a unique position to power the green energy or the green economy. So, but this won't happen unless we are able to harness these resources effectively, and especially for local beneficiation that the president is emphasizing. So local beneficiation, ensuring that the value from our natural wealth stays within the country. So unless that happen, well, people comes and extract and leave us suffering. You remember the what is that I was talking about earlier, the one historical event in Nigeria, the guys that was actually executed, they come extract, you know, and damage the environment and leave people poor. So yeah, that has to happen. So we need to harness these resources effectively for, as I said, for local beneficiation. And that's, we seem to see the picture. We seem to see that's what needs to happen. And you know the problem? You guess it. Enforcement, implementation, that is our disease. That is our chronic disease. Yeah, so, yeah, and at the same time, we must make sure that the climate action benefits everyone. You know, it benefits especially those most vulnerable. When this happens, sometimes you see the problem within our country, when things happen, sometimes there are a group that always, you know, left behind. That's why we have unequal society. So we have women, children, and most marginalized communities, you know, left most of the time left behind. So developing nations like Namibia are calling for approach to climate action that is fair and inclusive, something that uplifts those who are often left behind. In the especially when it comes to transition to a green economy. So, yeah. So then what's need to happen? Let's take a step back and think the bigger picture. Now, let's look at COP30 let's look at the UN conference. So COP30 is supposed to be about global solution to a global problem. But as we have seen, the solution are often held back by conflicting interests. So the developing nations have their own interests, and each countries have their own interests, the powerful one, whether it is corporation profiting from fossil. Now you have corporations that are maybe profiting from fossil fuels, and they don't want to, you know, rush this transition, and they don't want to fund. put fund already into this. Or government failing to fulfill promises. So the system isn't working as it should. It's just that it's not working as it should. So the reality is we are likely to, according to the report, the UN report, is that we are likely to surpass the 1.5 degrees Celsius global warming target within the next decade. So what happened next will definitely depend on how much action we take. I mean now globally. So, and whether or not we can hold those responsible accountable, that's the issue. Now, the UN Secretary General has made it clear. So it's time, he says it's time for a global leader to step up or face ruin, just ruin, really. And for Namibia, the question is, will the international community deliver on its promises? Can we count on the a fair transition that doesn't leave us behind? Because there is that possibility. All right? And more importantly, how do we build now as a country, how do we build a resiliency now, you know, rather than waiting for promises that might never come actually. So how do we then locally, how do we then build that? It's massive money. So should we just say the more we just depend on the support from outside, the more we become, the powerless we become. And then we just dance to the tune of whoever has got the money. So what are we going to do? How do we build resilience now as a country? So rather than just waiting for the promises that might never come. So you can come through as well and have your say. What do you think? 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So you may come through and have your thoughts, your reactions.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na longe shifa ya shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randito ma yoe. Yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pi memeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma. Onaraje tatu imu. Datu heari hamano tano o niari. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
That's right. This is your number one talk radio stations. And have I been live? Now I'm wondering if I have been live. This, I think I have. I think I'm an. Otherwise, my my colleague would have told me that you're not live. Okay, so I'm kind of like see the light when you're on air that you put on, and kind of like it was off, and I'm thinking, have I been talking all this long? Ah, no, I would have known. I have been alive. All right. So definitely. 0833-66091. And we come into you direct and live from the Ondangwa studio. So our discussion, of course, there is no denying, and definitely there is no denying the urgency of the climate crisis, especially for African nation like ours, like Namibia. So, and we are, Namibia is really committed to playing its part. We are committed to playing our part. But we need global action. We need the global support. So we need that global action and the really financial support to make those commitment a reality. So if that is not flowing in, definitely we won't be able to do anything. And it's time to move beyond words. Okay, hopefully we will see what coming out of this COP 30. So it's time to move beyond words and start seeing the real resources, you know, real support, real tangible solutions. Okay, let's keep the conversation going. Not just on climate, but on the justice that should come with it. We are the one that contributing to this crisis the least, and we are the one that are suffering more. We are the one who has affected more, and we are the one that receive less, you know, finance when it's come to climate finance, global finance, you know. So is there justice there? So let's also see, is there really justice there? All right, what do you say? What is your thought? What is your reaction? What is your perspective on this? So 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So you are welcome. You're welcome to come through and have your say.
Omotiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikawa shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakudo nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu datu heari hamano tano oniaj Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Our time is 56 minutes past the hour of 8, 4 minutes to 9. And if you're just joining us, welcome. It's a Monday morning, the 10th of the 11th, the year 2025. It's almost coming towards the end. It's almost the end of the year. It's very, very close. All right. So we're talking about the 30th United Nations Climate Change Conference, the conference of the parties, the COP 30. So, yeah. And we're talking about where the, you know, there is a growing frustration from developing world, where they, in these countries where countries like Namibia were facing extreme drought, floods, and temperature that actually threaten our food security. And in those when there are so much flood and all that, community become displaced. And this also, it also brings so much pressure on our already fragile economy tali shongola nale lo tali pewa yo mojwe fikop. So then those are some of the issues. Those are developing countries think that, you know, this is not, you know, and as I said, we are the most hit, the continent of Africa is the most hit one, is the most affected. 8 out of the 10 country most affected by climate change are in Africa. So, and these are the countries that also receive less money when it comes to less finance, when it comes to the support that they need. So, yeah. So what do you think? What is your take on this one? 0833-66091. So I want to hear your perspective. So yeah, and can you imagine the what I say is that, you know, when it's come now, the problem is now securing the funds. The rich nations are not committing to their promises. And that leaves the developing countries really frustrated. So we see that the global finance system is failing to meet its promises. So, all right. So 0833-66091. You can come through and have your say. So social justice, not just climate justice, because seriously, think of this. These wealthy countries, as we know, historically, they're the one who contributed most to the greenhouse gas emission. So they have committed to support developing countries in their effort now to, you know, to adapt to climate change. And also, as one of the global goal to transition to a greener, more sustainable economies. So, and they are failing to do that. The other question is also then, you know, so they were the one who have contributed, and they should be, that's the whole point. They should be contributing more to this. But also the African government, the African or developing, you know, country, what do they do? What are you doing, you know, to create that resilience, climate resilience, rather than just waiting? So if it doesn't come, you just have your hands in the air and said, well, we have nothing to do. So start also doing some. Namibia is actually, we really have committed. We have many things already in place. It's just that we need money, you know. 0833-66091. All right. So you can come through. It's a Monday morning. All right. Okay. We can go to our second story. All right. So while you coming through, so we can look at our second story. It's very interesting also. It's a very interesting story as well. It's also in today's, actually this make the headline. It's the one that making the headline, in today's, edition of The Villager. So it's the story by Nino Menavali Erastus. So yeah, the Communication Regulatory Authority of Namibia, CREN, has been taking a firm stance on non-compliance devices. And let me tell you, it has sparked some interesting conversation. All right. So more than 1,500 phones were detained at our borders last year. And the reason might, you know, we're going to look at that. So what has been going on? So between April 2024 to July 2025, CREN reported detaining over 1,500 telecommunication devices. So devices and primarily mobile phones, because they didn't meet, they didn't meet the necessary technical standard. All right? So this phone were either counterfeit or didn't have the required type approval certification, okay? What is referred to as a type approval certification, a process meant now to ensure that imported devices are safe, reliable, and compatible with our local network. So that type approval certification, so it has to be done, the process where now you're looking at, okay, is it safe, is it reliable, and, you know, is it compatible with our local networks? So, and you probably think, okay, that's good. And why does this matter to me now? You know, I just want my phone to work when I get it. So when I get my phone, I just want my phone to work. So why would that bother me? Yes. This actually affects more than just, you know, more than just your personal gadget. It doesn't just affect your personal gadget. I think these regulations are designed to protect consumers like you from, you know, from faulty or even dangerous devices. So, and also maintaining that smooth connection network, you know. And let's be honest, stop the flow of poor quality, you know. And also then we don't want to have some poor quality product from entering into the market. Although, you remember the problem that we have? We also, one also, would then we have to think in terms of hopefully the process is fair, all right? So we want to stop that flow of poor quality products from entering the market in Namibia, from Namibian market. But are we doing it fairly? Are there some countries maybe that, you know, bombard our market with poor quality products? So that's now the question. That's now the fairness that we're talking about. Now, the issue has been particularly noticed at the border point, like Jose Akutako International Airport, where customs officials have detained a significant number of phones due to missing, those phones are missing the certification. Now, in fact, according to the revenue, Namibia Revenue Agency, NAMRA, they seized over 1,250 phones at the airport alone. Not just at the airport alone, for not having the required type approval from CREN. Now, so that is interesting because why I'm saying it's interesting is because we often talk about oversight and reinforcement as one of the biggest problem when it comes to one of the biggest diseases in Namibia. So oversight and reinforcement, the reasons why many projects and, you know, and aspirations and, you know, and goal are not met is because of oversight and reinforcement. So, and I think this push for better oversight from CREN is about, it's more than just protecting consumer from poor quality devices. We're looking at more that it's not just about protecting consumers from poor quality devices. So it is also about, as we often talk about, it's also about maintaining the integrity of Namibian entire telecommunications, okay, infrastructure. So, let's see who is knocking on my door. There is someone who woke up. A very good morning. You are the only one who wakes up.
Okay, good morning.
So, how are you?
Good.
And the rest are sleeping, and what are we doing? Where are we heading?
You see, now, that is where African boys are.
You see?
Hmm? They are abandoning what they were supposed to do. In our traditional way of living,
yeah,
boys must be wake up early.
Yeah, exactly. And nowadays, the boys are the ones that are actually very late, you know.
You see now, that is the impact of the living now.
And we are hated for that. Now, we fathers and... You even tell your teenagers, this teenage boy, you're telling them, you should wake up earlier more than before everyone. Now I'm wake up to do what?
Those are the things.
Unless there's something that I'm going to do, but if I have nothing to do, why would I wake up early?
but it was not supposed to be to say, you have to planning for something. No.
But you know what? The other thing is this. The other thing is that we grew up waking up early because there were certain things that we need to do. You understand?
Yeah.
In our setting, you know, when we grew up, there were a lot of things that you have to wake up early, you know, and do. Now you get used to that. That's what is instilled in you. That's now, sometimes, you know, say for example, the house is clean, everything is.
But the inspection of things.
Yeah.
It is still need your attention each and every day.
Yeah.
Mm. So it doesn't say you. That's why they say you planning a day through and sleeping because you want to do better than yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that is how it is. It's a debatable thing, but
it is. Yeah.
On the look of things, we are blaming others. Because of that, to say, the government is the one who is allowing not to disciplining our children and all of that. At the end of the day, it's not like that. Government never come to people's...
into your living room.
No. And say, doing this. Anyway, Mike.
Yeah.
The climate change is a debatable thing. It's a disagree thing in the world.
Trump says it's a hoax.
especially in the, I look at even some scientists in UK.
Yeah,
they are also do the same of saying there is no evidence that we can say this is the impact and this is what it was before and this is what is heavy to be prevented or not to be happen because of this.
What do you mean? Quickly, even if you don't call it a climate change, call it whatever you like. If you are in Namibia and you experience the radical, or what is that? This pattern of this rainfall pattern really changed. How do you call that? As I said, call it whatever you want, but how do you call that?
Thank you for that question because it has happened before.
Yeah.
The seasoning of more rain and few rains, it was there before.
Yeah.
And that's why when it look into to such as a thing, to the data that we are heavy, those are the things that if you look at in the 16th century, the 1862, we have such as a thing in our history, in our Mbandu history, which is said there was a dust hunger.
Yeah.
And there was a moon hunger that you know on Jalaogapuka. Some of the thing. So those are the type of things that which is was also happening in Ethiopia. For 10 years Ethiopia never gets rain. I think since 1979 to 1990, a decade without raining.
Yeah.
So it's the impact of that. We never do a research and to find it out what was really the cause of that. So there is two groups in that you can be in. The scientific group or the biblical group. I don't know about the Quran and the others, but these are the way of understanding things to say, okay, if it was happening on 17th century, what was the cause if the industry were not a lot? So those are the type of things that I engaged with one of the participants on the climate change in Abidjan.
Yeah.
I asked him why he didn't go to Brazil and he said, because we're starting to talk about a lot of things. So where I ask him, because I feel this is health sector. So I asked her about what is the impact of the climate change out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, you know, the diseases are now closer to us because of the we are closer to animals and all of that.
Yeah.
They don't know, that is not the climate change the issue. This is the habitat of expanding habitat.
Mm.
So that is another issue. Mike, if you look at what you were discussing or what were you unpacking, I think it was on Tuesday or Monday, on the 4th. 4th was when?
I don't have a calendar here now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. When you were talking about the shortage of the cattle.
Yeah, yeah.
Abattoir issue.
Mm.
This is not, it can be also blamed tomorrow that it's a climate change.
Yeah.
But on the look of things, it's not. The major player in the cattle farming, they are get old.
Uh-huh.
So the younger ones that are coming in on those farming now, they are changing the model of the business.
Yeah, but so, no. Okay, I definitely on that point I understand. That's one aspect. But
yeah,
also one thing that I'm said, doesn't matter whether you're a biblical, whatever, you're on the biblical side or you're on the scientific side. Now, I want us to face the reality of what we experience right now so that, you know, we have a drought and that drought has contributed to the agricultural production. And sometimes the other things when it comes to carbon emissions is that it's much hotter now, you know, and you tend to think, whether now you're a scientific or not, that the amount of things that we do as human being, maybe the cars that we have and you know, have contributed somehow. Whether now whatever you call it, there is a reality that has changed.
That's a good point that you are right.
Yeah.
On the look of this now, the pollution that we are talking about. If you look at the developed countries like Scandinavians and some of these countries that are coming up, like India, for example. Because India is also one of the faster growing when it comes to economy, and people are owning cars and all of those things. And that is the causing of the pollution now.
Yeah.
The harvesting of rain, the making up of rain, is something that is also reducing the pollution. You understand?
Yeah.
So when you do the crowd and the rain came, it's raining up on that steam. You know, the climate, I mean, the pollution steam.
Yeah.
So the rain, they are creating rain by themselves to do that. So each through the year, they are just getting a little bit drop of rain to dilute or to washing out that pollution.
Yeah.
That is another thing which is not discussing by the climate change. The climate change groups, that what they are discussing, where are we going to get money to fund it? Those who are those who are no more getting rain. But the rain, which has been there for years and years, so there is a lot of things that is sometimes preventing rain not to come.
Yeah.
As I said, the evidence are there to look at it. One of that is 10 years in Ethiopia.
Even if it's man-made, it is there.
It is there. Yeah, those are the type of things that we wanted to understand before we discussing those type of who are going to giving us money. Yes, it's a good group. We are not against the group of discussing about how we're funding each other because of the impact.
Yeah.
But in the reality is that, are we the one who controlling the weather? Those are the other things which is on the layout today, the oxygen and there is a time that is also depending on us, the heating that we are also getting, and the time of using also those type of things, that is the heat, the oxygen is not so there is a lot of things that is costing by the human.
Yeah.
But not too early to say the industrial countries, they are the one that is causing this problem. Pollution is it's a controllable thing.
Yeah, oh no, definitely. That's yeah, controllable. The reasons why I would say, I think when they industrialize their countries, that's where to say, well, when you build up these industries, have actually contributed to this crisis, you know, compared to our country that hasn't done that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's where now the kind of a blame to say, you know, you have contributed to this more than us. Yeah. So, but that they grew to a point where they actually control the pollution.
Yeah. You know? But let's go to the one that is now. Let's not talk about Africa.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Europe, for example.
Yeah.
If you look at what happened to Belgium in 2001, there was a big fraud that is end up washing the whole city.
Yeah.
You understand? Because of the development that was happening after the city. You see now. The engineers never be communicate with the blue blueprint that is saying don't put in what here.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And when the rain came, it became like heavy because the water is not moving.
Yeah,
that is another issue which is people are building up in their houses on the. If you look at those Kuku and others, you are from that area, right?
Yeah, I'm
you
born know where, in yeah. that area. I know.
Yeah, you know where the water is always in that pan issue.
Yeah.
It's wet first underground. Not,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So when the rain are rainy, that land is sucking more water.
Yeah.
And after that, it become like it's a water pan now.
Mm.
You can see that the grass are growing through the water. So those are now the type of things, if you're putting your house there, your house will start to sink because of what?
And cracking.
The water is, that rain is wetting under, but you don't know where it's getting that water because it's far from where you are.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that we are blaming the climate, because we can say, look at Oshakati now, the whole Oshakati was washed out because of the climate change and all of that. But once you sit with the person that have been there for years, said, you know, we were avoiding putting our houses because of A, B, C, and D.
When you're talking now, it just remind me of something. Is it also, honestly, that we so far, maybe Namibia can be excused, but other African or developing country, we lacking the expert, the scientist.
Yes, it's what I'm always telling you that we don't have such as a people that can be really sitting and debating this type of thing.
First of all, people and the equipment to determine, you know, the problem, the amount of the problems, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Because if you listen now to Mimenetumbo saying, we need funds, we need to do what, it's to funding their farms. Yeah. It's to blaming those who are not getting enough food. You understand?
Yeah.
Because they are not timing. Look at the agriculture guys now that they are talking about of timing the rain and the crops that they have doesn't need more rain and all of that.
Yeah.
But we don't have such as a thing because of what? Our communication with the nature is totally different.
Mm.
And those are the things that I don't want the people tomorrow to blaming the players of this beef supplier because the big players, they are out of the game.
Yeah.
Like those guys in Grootfontein, those guys for Marulu.
Yeah.
If they went out, the whole cattle, if you look at, because me, I wanted to talk about things that I know it will happen tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah,
not only to talk about climate change, that we know is a game of making money.
Yeah.
Those who are collecting data, they paid, and at the end of the day, the participating are also getting something out of it. Mm. That's why it was blamed by Al Gore, because Al Gore losing three times and to be a president of the United States. I mean, because of that, and at the end of the day, he's the one who convincing people to say, let us coming up with climate change. And he know there is a lot of countries that are not getting enough food because of ABC and D, because they are not supporting. For example, if you look at ours now, climate change that you are talking about, but if you look at the green scheme, does he need to really rain? Or they need pumping machine.
They need pumping machine, exactly.
You see now. Those are the type of things that we are blaming, we are talking about it, and it doesn't make really sense of saying, you know.
So the whole thing is that others have learned to adapt, to that change. Whether, as I said, whether that's a change that comes naturally or a change that we, as a consequences of our actions. They learn to adapt, you know. All what we're asking now, we're asking just money to
But the cause of the fire, we don't know who caused it.
Yeah, we don't know who caused the fire. If we go to Dimi Paiva, would it still, come?
There is a debatable of this climate change, especially in what is causing by the government.
Yeah.
Because the people are in the surrounded area where they cannot control themselves, they're getting somebody to control them. That is another issue, because if you are now talking about Rundu, for example, that is growing faster than and any other town, but there is nothing that they are benefiting, that they are making living on. So it's also something that you cannot deny, say climate change is real. But it's really because the people are flocking to the town, or is it because of what now?
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that we're discussing a lot, and we unpack. And I even listening to last week's program of Unpack, it was really teaching people.
Yeah.
There is a lot of lesson on that contest, but people are not following it.
Yeah.
So that is what I'm saying. The climate change here is something that we can talk about because we want money to funding our project.
Mm.
But on the issue of making food, rising this, green scheme, they are the one that is having to come up with the plan.
Yeah. And that's why I asked the question, would we just wait? Would we have our just hands up in the air and said, well, we're waiting for the money from these developing nations, or should we do something that would help us to change the course of the whole thing?
Because there is two things that you can understand.
Yeah.
There is one that I'm talking about, harvesting crowds.
Yeah.
And there is harvesting oxygen that is happening to Scandinavian countries.
Mm.
You see now. So those are the things that tomorrow we will also need it.
Yeah.
But we are not planning it today. So when the heat is starting now hitting fast and everybody is now in the cool room that are cooled by my machine, where are we going to cooling ourselves in Africa?
Yeah.
Those ones, they are already selling those type of oxygen. You see that? So those are the things that we need to understand when we are with those type of people. When we are discussing now on the panel of those, that on in terms of harvesting those, because as we have now some jungles that we can getting a fresh air.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Maybe we can also start buying those machines and say, we need this type of things.
Mm.
But we are not ready for that.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things, Mike. And when it comes to some of the project, look at your benefit. Look at what you are contributed. Look at where are these people going. That is what you come with in your country. We are not coming to say, no, we are closer to animal now because of Kwandu Kubango jungles.
Let's hear what others have to say. That
Okay,
thank
great.
You very much, Mike. Thanks for coming through. 08-3-3-6-6 if you still 08-3-3-6-6-0-9-1 if you still wanna talk about the climate change. Yeah. So 08-3-3-6-6-0-9-1 or you wanna talk about the what we're talking about, the Namibia revenue. We're talking about crane cutting off, let me get to the story quickly. So you can come through and
either to our first stories and have your opinion, have your perspective. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things comes out that are really, 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 how do you look at that? And it give you definitely a different perspective. Yeah. So you're welcome. 0833-66091. So I'm going to be back after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
eye. All right, welcome back. Our time is about 29 minutes past the hour of 9. So we still have about 30 minutes before we come to the end of unpacking the day. So it's a Monday morning. So how is your Monday morning? My Monday is always not blue. Well, it could be any other color, but definitely not blue. Yeah. So, all right. Welcome. And we, at this point in time, we're looking at a story in today's, it's actually the story that made the front page. So the non-compliant, telecommunication devices that are not welcome, in Namibia. So we're talking about this, so between, April 2024 to July, 25, Kren reported detaining over 1,500 telecommunication devices, primarily mobile phones, because they didn't meet the necessary technical standard. Yeah, so, yeah, those are, you know, this phone, they either sometimes, some of them could be counterfeit or they just didn't meet the required type approval certification, which a process for a process which meant to ensure that the imported devices are definitely safe, are reliable, and they are compatible with our local networks. So yeah, and that now. So I want us to look at this more, a little bit more, you know. The other thing that I was saying is that, you know, which is actually Kren is doing, I think I was saying, I was applauding this because often we talk about the oversight and reinforcement as the biggest problem in Namibia. To see this has to see that, you know, Kren is actually pushing a better oversight, you know, in terms of this, actually, that's a great thing. So, because the other thing is also that you want to maintain the integrity of Namibia's entire telecommunication infrastructure. So, yeah, we cannot allow, you know, a substandard phone to flood the market and, which would be maybe, you know, before you know it, our network would start, you know, facing technical issues. So I think that's a very good thing, because it's something that we often complain that there aren't many other institutions are not reinforcing the laws that should be there. Yeah. So the other things now, I want to get into is really looking at now, you know, the intention behind of this regulation is clear. Okay. So the intention is very clear. So, and the only thing that I'm asking, the only thing maybe that we need to look at to question if these rules are fair. Now, are they too restrictive? Could be they, are they too restrictive or could they be, could they be outdated for our modern global marketplace? So those are some of the things that we need to look at. And NAMRA has pointed out that many consumers and businesses don't even know the rules about type approval. Do you know that rule? Yeah. So now, a lack of awareness means that people, especially small businesses and individual importers, are facing fine or even having the goods confiscated without realizing they have broken any law. You know? So let's see who is knocking on my gate. No, on my door. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mr. Shaveri.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm always fine on Monday. And how are you?
No, we thank God things are fine also.
Yeah.
Yes. Let me start with this crime.
Crime, yeah.
You
can say grand, it's okay. now I was talking about a clan, traditional clan or what?
So, yes, I think it's the best way, or maybe it fits on the discussion of today morning before you came.
Yeah.
On the protection of our property, also our things. So if we do not protect those who are entering in our market, sometimes could be counterfeit products,
yeah,
and all these other things, and we seriously need to protect. And I think it's one area where I just want to incorporate that your discussion with the one that we're discussing today. That yes, even in many other areas, so where we feel that yes, the Namibians are coming up with their products and they need protection either from the competition, you know, this imperfect competition.
Yeah.
And of course, they really need to do that so that our infant industries can also grow.
Yeah.
So the same applies to any other even agri produce. When they say fine, this one, you cannot allow the importation of such certain products. It's one way of protecting our own industry.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
And we just need to maybe implement those registration mechanisms that can really help to us.
I think that the point you're making is it's right, because now the question is, are we implementing it fairly? You know, would it then, because you might have actually, you know, Chinese company that can come with their whatever cheap product, and then you restricting a Namibian who want to bring in some, you know, maybe the similar quality that are brought by the Chinese. We're just giving it an example of Chinese. Could be anybody else. Yeah. So that's the question. Are we doing it fairly, though? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there is also, I was listening to some of this. I don't know whether it was a business kind of a forum last week, where they are talking about the one point is that you have sufficient kind of... I just forgot the other way. But when you are, for example, importing some of these products, when you want to, it might not be really original from here, but maybe you want to pick some pieces from China, take a piece from this other country, and then you come up with a whole product. So if it is entirely so that they don't allow this... intellectual property or just copy and paste here. But if you can mix those ingredients and then you come up with your own product, it's fine. Because there are many people who are importing things from China, which is allowed. So, and As long as it's not things that are dumped in there, and then they are now here being used because maybe we have a need here.
Yeah.
But we have to make sure that if there are Namibians who are bringing their things, their goods, importing their goods from there, and you just have to wait it and see if this part of the dumping kind of thing in Namibia, or these are genuine people who are business who are bringing in their import. If that is the case, you can allow them.
Yeah.
So give some kind of restriction, or you say, okay, if they are above maybe certain quota, and so that they cannot fraud the whole market here, then it's fine.
And also the point you're making, do you remember also the point you were making to say, well, it shouldn't be also killing our own businesses as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this shouldn't be killing our own product in whatever kind, even in the capacity or skill, where you know that, yes, there we don't have skill, technical skill, then you allow it a bit. And then if you know that, this area is now...
Overall, Uncle Buana, now looking in the bigger picture, do you think that's an oversight in our country where because of open market, do you think that sometimes, let's say for example, I'm just going to give it might not be relevant, but let me see if it makes sense. Let's say for example, China would bring in oka panel oka solar, you know. People local here can think, oh, they are doing good because we use this in the rural area where there is no electricity. But okapanelako, maybe we were the one who supposed actually to have actually designed that and what. Now, because it's cheaper, you know, bringing it from China, it limiting our own people from developing. You understand? Maybe if you want to look it in a bigger picture, my question or what I want to do, maybe look at also is that is there no oversight there? Is there some kind of an oversight?
Yeah, it could be. Because what they are saying, that we're saying, the example that you gave is exactly what they were giving and that platform of business, what. So what they are saying is that if you want to produce, let's say, solar panel, and you are using some of the material from China, as long as it's not the whole thing, actually, the whole component, and you are using maybe your local material here, and this other one, maybe the other one is from Germany or wherever, and you are making that product. Of course, if you are just allow the whole product to be supplied in here, it might limit us from innovating or coming up with a business idea that can really... able to produce that solar panel that you are talking about.
Yeah.
So you just need to regulate it and create a balance so that our own people can also produce. I heard somebody, I think it was in the radio, they are saying that our own people are also now producing those, manufacturing those solar panels.
Yeah.
If they are manufacturing maybe not in the large quantity, and then you know that, yes, you can expand the capacity, you can supply them with the materials and give them the knowledge to produce more, as long as at least that one will not also be swallowed up, or maybe it should not be, you know, because if the person is having a market, producing those small ones, and the other one is coming, and obviously people will run to that other one because that one might be cheaper than what you are producing. So there you need to put some regulation in place, the limitation, and say, in this area here, we cannot just allow you to put all those things in our market because you definitely kill the small industry, the infant ones that are coming up.
Yeah.
I think somewhere in that area, you can see how we can regulate and balance up the situation. Because if you restrict them completely, they might also take you to court.
I think they must follow. I think I like the agronomic, you know, board system where when we don't have, you know, they open the border for other countries. When we have the produce, you know, we close the border, you know.
Exactly. Let's yeah. do it.
You shoot the same regulation. Maybe it's not possible for every material, but it should some in that kind of nature so that you protect your local businesses.
It should be the same one in all aspects of life. Yeah. If you know that here, just like what you mentioned there, that's what they do. The same apply to any other industry.
Yeah.
The same can be applicable to any other area.
All right.
So, Mark, thank you very much.
No, thank you for coming through. Yeah. All right. 08333-66091. We're talking about the devices, NAMRA, that has, not NAMRA, CRAN, are protecting the consumer from poor quality devices by not allowing those who doesn't meet the type approval, you know? So, but I was talking about, what I was talking about, fairness now, and I just mentioned that even NAMRA has pointed out that many consumers consumers and business don't even know the rules about type approval. So now, and I think that the lack of awareness means that people, especially small business and also those the individual importers, because there could be individual who are also importing stuff, could face actually fine or even having their goods confiscated without realizing they are actually breaking the law. So how do you then make sure that, you know, people understand the law, you know? And especially for individual and small, whatever, and the small business entrepreneurs and small owners. So, and also that brings us to a key point, the enforcement. According to CRAN, since they introduced the type approval regulation back in 2016, they have processed thousands of applications and rejected 100 more due to safety concern or incomplete documentation. Now, when you hear that, that sounds really great, isn't it? So we want safe, yes. We want reliable product. That's what we want. But is there a possibility? This is, I want you now to think, you know, when we're talking about now, even when you say it incomplete, one of those rejected, the rejection of some of those is because of incomplete documentation. Now, but is there a possibility that this process is more bureaucratic than necessary? It's just something. So when we're asking this, we know from other experiences. So could it be that it's more bureaucratic than what it should be, than necessary? So it's one thing to require safety check, okay, which is actually a good thing. It's another thing entirely to have a system that is so complicated that people get penalized for minor oversight, like missing maybe a single signature on a form. So now your things now, you know, don't go through or not, you know, because just a single signature on a form that you missed. Is a system as transparent as it should be? So that's just a question, because if we started asking, you know, people, I remember there was an interview I have with not Dimbruka, but what is the legal person of NAMRA. I know him. Just the name just disappeared. Yeah, so when we talk about the in terms of, is the system as transparent as it should be? Is it accessible? So that's another, is it accessible to everyone? You know, especially small traders who might not have actually the resources to navigate a complicated regulatory environment. So is it accessible? And when we talk about accessible, much of these things are not even in local language. Maybe people, if it's the form is in a local language, most of the time it's in English.
And you really already cut off a lot of people. Eh? It's not accessible. You can't claim that it's accessible. Eh? I don't need to go to someone else, please. What do I need to fill up here? Put it in my own language. Why not? Eh? You see, those are some of the things. You may have small traders who may not have the resources. They may not have the resources to really go through a complicated regulatory environment. So that's something that we need to look at. And let me even complicate it more. Let me even complicate it even more. So then now let's look at now the business angle. Okay? Let's look at the very business angle. Now, Namra and Cran, they want to protect the market from counterfeit and non-compliant devices. And that's fair enough. Eh? That's honestly, that's fair enough. All right. So, All right. So that's fair enough. But, okay. But think about the local business that they rely on importing devices. Eh? They rely on importing devices to sell them in Namibia. Now, for some of these businesses, especially small importers or entrepreneurs, the cost of ensuring full compliance can be a huge burden. Yeah? It can be a huge burden. So we're talking about a regulatory process that may require submission of technical documents, certifications, and even maybe proof of payment. And this could even done before you even see the product in the country. So you see that. So what I'm asking, we're looking at that and say, yeah, that's great. And that's what we want. You know, that we are protecting our market from counterfeit and from compliant, non-compliant devices. Yes, but we also need to look at the process. Okay? So because it could be bureaucratic, it could be, you know, it might have some strict or rules that unnecessary, which actually then preventing or cutting people off who need the individual traders or individual importers and also small entrepreneurs who the cost of ensuring full compliance can be really affecting their businesses. What happens when this business now misses a step in the paperwork? You know, well, when they miss that step, their stock get detained. It get detained and they could face a serious losses. Now, you know, it get detained. You may not have money actually now to pay to get it. So of course, get me right. Okay. At the same time, we can't ignore. That's the things that we cannot ignore, the broader issue of counterfeit goods. Okay. We're not ignoring that. Namibian market, like many other countries, is vulnerable to influx of fake, you know, substandard electronics. So we have seen that. So the devices might look good on the outside, but it could pose a serious risk to consumers and or to our telecom network as well. So yeah, that's also need to be, you know, taken in cognizance. Very good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
The issue of clan.
Yeah.
No, I think that was a good move because.
Yeah, not definitely.
Yeah, because the issue that we have here, if you look at the 51-49, it doesn't benefit us, because even the FDI, when they come to looking for our, of what we have in our country, they finding those people that they know, they are the one that dominated in the market. Yeah, so the 51% is not helping Namibians. It's just a paper drafting thing. So, but if we come up with that, this is what we know in this country. Some of people are now getting opportunity to partner up with others in the world. Because most of the people that are visiting us, and they wanting to look at what we have, what Namibians have, not what the market have. Because you come here, you're finding the company that you are running away from, your country, they are the one that is dominating in Namibian market.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. So, but if you allow it Namibians to be a part of the business, we're getting more foreign partners because of what we have in our hands. So those are the things that we need to look at it. Because, Mike, if you look at what is the oil industry, for example, that we were also talking about it, and you look at the operation or the services that is running the fuel supply in this country, they are not Namibian companies. Yeah. They are shells, they are operating under franchise, which is nonsense. Because why I'm saying it's nonsense? It's nonsense because how can you allow Nanko to do all his on his own?
Yeah.
But you don't want the other business people to operating with under their names. They are operating under paying Shell to have the service. Those are the type of problems that we have in this country. We are not discussing things that is affecting us. We are just discussing in the sake of the minutes. So those are the problems that I'm saying. Yeah, CRAN is doing good, and this is what we saw on agronomic. Agronomic is doing good, and it's helping those producers to sell their product.
Yeah.
But other industry areas, they are not doing the same.
Exactly.
So we cannot allow... Because I cannot operate under Nanko. For what reason I'm paying Nanko for? For what reason I'm paying Puma for? Well, those are the problems that we have. I need my own brand. I need the license of buying. I am proving that my refinery, my oil refineries come from this standard refinery company. So all I prove this is the right thing that you're needing in the police. To enforcing the police, those are the things. If I violated this, you're saying, this is a violation. So those are the type of things that we have to allow, we have to discuss with Mr. Shaputa, we have to discuss with the president, and understanding all of this, what is the benefit of 51%? It's not to give me a license so that I can sell it to somebody else. No. It's for me to benefit, to be a part of that.
Yeah.
If this one wanted.
And be able to actually, the whole idea is actually to create more jobs as well in terms of local and value additions. That's what you want, because this is now a company, you know, it's now Namibian who owned that. And you think that the decision would make would actually profit more Namibians than the foreign,
The foreign institution. Because when I was discussing with this boy from Kazakhstan, they were pointing out that we wanted to see Namibians that have a few opportunities with the world out there.
Yeah.
So that's why we come to listen to them. But on the look of the dominating of the market, they are not Namibians.
Yeah.
So we go with nothing to tell in our country that, you know, because they benefit between those two countries. There is a lot of benefit, you understand? When it comes to agreements, to memorandum of understanding and all of those.
Yeah.
There are some countries that are benefited from us. Direct.
Direct, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, but they don't get the opportunity. You come from Kenya. Here you come, you're finding Puma is the one who is doing it. Why I have now to sign up with Puma Series? It's the one that I ran away from my country. So those are the problems that we have. Let us look at those. Ambassadors, we need to discuss with them what is really the benefit, what are they initiating for those people to come to us, and what are they wanting from us? Are they wanting from the FDI or are they wanting from us, local? So those are the type of discussion that we need. Those are the discussions that we're sending the embassy to representing us there to marketing our country, to marketing our resources, to marketing our business people. So those are the type of things that we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for some time of there, and when we have, and this is something maybe I think John mentioned it at one point, that when other embassies come in this country and find opportunities that are more explosive or that are more exploitative in nature, is that those ambassadors are doing their job, because that's what they do, is benefiting their country. you're failing to do that.
You fail to do that. You fail now. So that is the way I'm saying. Don't sit in the table for the sake of the S&T.
Yeah.
Sit there for your benefit. What am I benefited here with my people? Yeah. Because I'm representing the people when I'm sitting at that table. So those are the. Anyway, Mike, let's listen to others.
All right, man. Thanks for coming to me again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's also bring us to the end of unpacking the day today. Thanks for those who coming through and for your contribution as well. And continue to listen to Eagle FM. Coming up is Kutha Mosha, normally with Tate France. So stay tuned. We will be crossing down to Windhoek for other programs that are coming your way through the course of the day. For me, Michael Chevalier, I wish you a pleasant day and a good week, a productive week ahead. So, goodbye.